to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 6. Matthew, chapter number 6, contains what we call the Lord's Prayer, but really it's just a model prayer. And we'll read it tonight, and just going to pick out one little phrase and cover one aspect of this model prayer. The Lord's Prayer is found in the Gospel of John, I believe chapter 17, where he prayed for his disciples and all those that would follow after him. But his disciples here had asked the Lord in verse number 9 of Matthew chapter 6, after this manner. And he says, therefore pray ye. The disciples said, how do we pray? What are we going to do? And so the Lord says, after this manner, therefore pray ye. And here's the prayer, or the model. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So here we have, just in a few verses and a few words, the Lord is teaching his disciples the essence of prayer and some of the things to cover as they pray. And we could go through all this, and there's no need of doing that, and because that's not the message tonight, but of course we direct our prayer to the Father. Our Father, we know where he is. He's in heaven. We know he's holy. Hallowed be thy name. But you read on down through the prayer here, or this model that the Lord gives to his disciples. He tells us in verse number 13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I want to take just one little phrase here in verse 13 and sort of just build a thought tonight upon this, deliver us from evil. I don't think we have to go very far to find wickedness in our society. We don't have to go to the bright lights of New York or Chicago or San Diego or anywhere in our country. We don't have to find where there's a large mass of people. We do not have to find where the bright lights are flashing and glaring and inviting folks to be involved in a lot of ungodly activities to find evil. We find evil around us every day. We do not have to travel too far to go and find what is evil. Even when we're not looking for it, we will find it. And so many times it comes to where we are. And so many times evil finds us. And so when the Lord told his disciples to pray that they would be delivered from evil, I believe he knows exactly and knew what he was talking about concerning our wicked society and our wicked world in which we live. Verse 13 is an appeal to the Lord to deliver us, to save us out of this wicked world. And I'm glad, as Brother Solomon said, the greatest thing that he possessed was his salvation. And that is the greatest possession that all of us have, is our salvation that God has given to us. Because in that, we have been delivered. We have been delivered from the power of sin. We've been delivered from the penalties of sin. And one day, either by death or by rapture, we'll be delivered from the very presence of sin. God will take us out of this place. So we have a little bit of understanding, a little bit of knowledge, what it means to say, deliver us. It means save us. It means to bring us from one place to another with security and safety. Deliver us from evil, because evil is always out there. Deliver us from evil because it means that God knows where the evil is, and I'm so glad he does know. I'm glad I don't know what lurks in the dark, and I'm glad I don't know what around every corner. But I'm glad I serve a Lord and have a God as my Father and Jesus as my Savior, that he knows around every corner, he knows over every hill, he knows in every valley where evil is lurking to destroy and to take care of my personal life and to destroy me. And so when we pray this and when we see this prayer, it says, deliver us from evil. That means God can do that. God can deliver us, and there's no doubt about it, and there's no question to that. And sometimes it's only God can deliver us. Now, sometimes we can go to friends, and they can help us in some areas of our life, and we can go to family sometimes, and they can help us. But there are times when it is only God that can deliver us, because it is a spiritual deliverance that we need and must have from the Lord. You see, Satan is trying his best to discourage us. I mean, he knows how to do it. He knows how to defeat us. He knows how to defile us. He knows how to do all those things. He knows how to destroy the child of God. He's that lion that's lurking and looking and waiting to pounce, that one that is a lion that's seeking to devour the child of God. And so the evil is out there, and the Lord said, when you pray, deliver me from evil. I think it should be a prayer of our own. And when I studied this and looked at these things, I find that sometimes I don't pray that. But I'm glad that we can pray that, because evil is around us everywhere. Before you go home tonight, there will be some evil that may jump out at you. There are some things that may come at you. When you get home tonight, there may be some things that happen that only the devil has put before you to try to tear you down. And I'm glad we can say, oh God, deliver me from these things. And the Lord can do that. You see, Satan hates us as a child of God because the Bible says that we are light. And the Scripture says that evil hates light. We are the light of Jesus Christ. He's the light of the world, and we're the reflection of Christ. And so therefore we are shining His light to a generation that needs to have light given to them. And so therefore, if the devil can snuff out a light, then he's done he's had a victory. If the devil can destroy a light, then he has obtained what he wants, because he is after us because he hates light. And so therefore, he goes about his business trying to destroy us. Not only that, because of light, but because we are few. You see, he thinks he can destroy us because we're not in the majority. It doesn't matter what everybody says, there is no such thing as a Christian majority in our world tonight. For the most part, the world knows nothing about Jesus Christ. And I believe we could bring it on down to our own country. I believe the biggest majority of our country in America has no real understanding about who God is and the needs that they have, and to realize that salvation is there for their asking and for their taking. And so therefore we are growing less and less in our numbers. And so the devil, he says, well, I've got more and more. I can destroy them. But the Bible says greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And so he can take a few. God can take the lesser, and God can take the weaker things. And the Scripture says he uses the baser or the weaker things to confuse and confound the strong and the wise and the wisdom of this world. And they look and say, there's no way that could take place, but God delivers us again. And I'm glad tonight that we are on the Lord's side, and he's on our side. And everywhere the Lord went, he was attacked. And so therefore he knows how to handle the attack that comes at us. He knows how to handle the approach of the devil. He knows how to handle his cunning devices and his schemes and his ways. And so therefore, the Lord said, when you pray, deliver me from evil. Deliver me from that evil one, and that one that would bring about turmoil in my life. Sometimes the Lord lets us know where the evil is so we can avoid it. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 2, and I've got a lot of verses tonight I'm going to read to you. But he says in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 9, and out of the ground made the Lord to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight, good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and what? Evil. So in the very beginning, God understands this thing of evil. Now, don't ever let anybody tell you that God created evil, because he did not. Evil came about because of the rebellion in man's heart and the rejection of the Lord's way. But he gave them a tree that had the title, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And so if the Lord knew that, and he lets us know sometimes where it is, and he told them, he said, now avoid that tree. Because when you do that and you take of that fruit, then you're going to know good and evil. And you're going to have that before you. And so he let Adam and Eve know where it was, and yet they rejected what the Lord told them. Sometimes we don't know where the evil is. Sometimes it is hiding, and Sometimes it's in lies, and sometimes it's in ways of people's actions and ways of people's deeds and their works and even their words. And so sometimes we don't know where the evil is, but I'm glad the eyes of the Lord are in every place beholding evil and good, according to Proverbs 15:3. The Lord's eyes are lurking, and He's looking, and He knows where the good is. He knows where the evil is. And so therefore, all I have to do is pray, Lord, deliver me from evil. You know where it is. You know what's ahead. You know the direction that I take. You know the path that I take. And you know where Satan is. And you know where all that is. Lord, just deliver me from evil. Show me where it is so I can go around it. If I don't know where it is, you deliver me and you help me. And so there are times when we know where it is. There's times that we do not know where that the evil is. But we find in the model prayer here an asking for deliverance. Deliverance from evil. And by the way, we need the Lord to do that for us every day. We might say, boy, I fought the devil today and the Lord delivered me. Well, don't get too comfortable in that, because you're going to fight him again tomorrow. And you might fight him again before the day's over. You might fight him before you go to bed. You might fight him before you have supper in the afternoon, because he's there. And so when we win a victory and win a battle, just be aware that he says, deliver me from evil. And that's a continual process that takes place in my life. And you win a victory and you sort of rest and say, man, I'm glad that's over. And about the time we say that's over, here comes something else. And we have to fight that battle. We have to do this. Somebody says it's sort of like putting out a fire. You have it over here, a flame, and you put that out, and over here, there's another flame breaks out. And there's the evil that is after us. But I can say, dear Lord, deliver me from evil. I want to look at about four or five things tonight that we can pray how God can deliver us from some evil things. First of all, we need to be able to understand that He can deliver us from evil days. And I believe we are living in evil days. It doesn't take a very brilliant person. It doesn't take a rocket scientist. It doesn't take anybody with a whole lot of education to realize that we're living in evil days if we understand what the Scripture says. The Bible says for the believer that in Ephesians 5 and 16 that we are to redeem the time. Why? Because the days are evil. If you redeem something, that means you make sure you have it. You take possession of it. And he says, redeem the time. We only have time right now. The time of yesterday is gone forever. The time of this afternoon is gone. The only time we have for sure is that breath we just took. And that next breath, we have that time. And God tells us as a believer that we are to redeem or take care of the time because the days are evil. Now, evil days come to all of us, and they're not relished. I don't believe anybody would say, I want some evil days, and I want some hardships, and I want some trials, even though Romans 8:28 says that He will see us through all that. I don't think we pray, God, give us that, because we don't desire that. We desire, and as the Scripture tells us here, we are to pray that the Lord deliver us from that. And so the days are evil. The Scripture says in Ecclesiastes 12:1, remember now, this moment, remember now, thy Creator, in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not. So we know the evil days are coming. We know the problems arising. We know the storms are on the horizon. And the wisest of all men says, remember now the Creator in the days of thy youth, while the days, evil days come not. Nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. So we're to be using and the things of the Lord in our youthful days. 2 Timothy 3:1 says, this know also that in the last days perilous times or evil times shall come. Lord, deliver me from that. 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 1 says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. I believe we're seeing that. Some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. That's evilness. Ungodliness, 2 Thessalonians 2:3 says, "Let no man deceive you by any means, that for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." So there's the evil days that are ahead of us, and he's speaking of there that time of tribulation as the evil days. Sin is rampant everywhere we look. All you got to do is turn on any knob, whether it be a radio or a television or a computer. You can turn on any piece of equipment that you've got that's communication, and you'll find out we live in evil days. It's everywhere. How do I stop it? How do I stop? Sin is rampant. Sin is going everywhere, unchecked. The Bible says, because the sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Now, that just simply means because there's no judgment quickly. Because men think they get by with it, so they'll go do something else. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men are fully set in them to what? Do evil. Somebody will get out, and years ago there was this preacher that ran across the country and said, "I don't believe in God. If there's a God in the world, I challenge him to kill me and destroy me right here." That's a foolish man. He better be glad I wasn't God. He wouldn't have said that but once. He wouldn't have had anywhere else to go to say that. But God's long-suffering. But because nothing happened to him, then it's okay to say that. Man can live in their ungodliness and their wickedness, and nothing happens seemingly to them, and the judgment of God is stayed, and the blessings of the Lord and the judgment is stayed from him. Then that individual says, "Well, I can just do what I want to do because there's no God in heaven anyway." But one day they're going to find out they're going to stand before God. And then judgment falls. But Ecclesiastes, because it's not done speedily, because the sentence is, the Bible says, "He, the man that sinneth shall die." And because that doesn't happen speedily, man thinks he can get by with living any way he wants to live. But one day, he's going to die. And the judgment of God falls upon him. Sin is rampant everywhere because they think it's okay. Sinners are religious. They're religious. We think of sinners, we want to put them in a category over there. They hate God. They despise the things of the Lord. They don't like the Word of God. They don't like anything religious. They don't like anything spiritual. That's not necessarily the case. Religious men and women, religious people, are sinners. And sinners are very religious. The Scripture tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, that there are those that have a form of godliness. Their religion. They have a form of godliness. But, what does it go on to say? But they deny the power thereof, or they deny the power of God. They have a form. While they may have on religious garb. Somebody asked me one time, "Are you a man of the cloth?" I said, "No, I got a shirt on. The only cloth I know is shirt and tie and things like that." I knew what they meant, but that's religion. You can have your collar turned around backwards, and you can have all those. That doesn't mean anything. I almost said backwards, I know. I really don't say that. But we have a form of godliness. But in reality, we deny, or religion denies, the power of God. So therefore, God says, when you pray, pray, "Deliver me from evil. Deliver me from this particular thing." Saints are reviled. It doesn't take long to realize that wherever we go as a child of God, the world hates us. Well, the Lord says in John 15:18, "If the world hates you, ye know it hated me before it hated you." Well, it's nothing new to be hated because we are followers of Christ. They hated him. They destroyed him. They physically put him on the cross. So, "Dear Lord, deliver me from the evil days." And one day, I'm glad, thank God, he will deliver us. We're going home. Brother Solomon's going home. We're going home. We may go home before he gets there. We may all meet in heaven, our home, before he gets to his home of Nigeria. And we're going home, and he's going to deliver us from these evil days. Secondly, oh, dear Lord, deliver us from evil men. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 2 and 3. It says here, that and that ye may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. Unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. Now, if he's talking about evil men and he's going to keep you from evil, I believe he's going to help us to be away from evil men. He's going to help us in that direction of evil wickedness. There are people who really go out of their way to hurt God's people. There are folks that would do something just to revile you and to be vengeful against you. And just because they're wicked and just because you're a child of God, they despise you. And that's the only reason they have. We're seeing that all across our country tonight, and all many times under the disguise of religion. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 1:8, he said, I would not, brethren, that you be ignorant of our trouble. Paul had trouble. And he told the church of Corinth, he said, I don't want you to be ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despised even of life. Paul said there was much turmoil and much struggle, and he said to the Corinthian church, I want you to know that I don't want you to be ignorant of our trouble that came when we were in Asia. He said we were pressed beyond measure and above strength, and insomuch that we despaired even for life. Paul's expressing here a turmoil in his soul because of the evil men around him. And where Paul went, he ended up in jail, ended up in prison. Two places that Paul always visited when he went to a town. He visited the synagogue, and then they threw him in jail. That's usually the way it went. Evil men. Lord, deliver us from evil men. Not only from evil men, but deliver us from evil works. Paul tells Timothy that there was a man by the name of Alexander the coppersmith. And he says, he did me much evil. So those are evil works that were did to Paul. And Paul calls his name Alexander. That's his name. His trade was that he dealt with copper. And he was like a blacksmith, only he was with copper. Alexander the coppersmith, he did me much evil. And boy, I tell you what, these next words, I wouldn't want to be Alexander with Paul saying this. The Lord reward him according to his works. That's strong language. He did me much evil, so God, you deal with him. And you deal with him according to his works. What were his works? They were evil works. How's God going to deal with evilness and ungodliness? One day they'll die and go to hell if they do not get right with God. So Paul understood what evil men would do. He understood the evil days. He understood the evil works. Jesus said, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of what? Evil against you. Blessed are ye when men say all things against you and evil against you falsely. People don't always tell the truth. Sometimes we are so naive, and I'm the world's worst, that I believe everybody tells me. I've tried to learn a little bit. Now I'm almost to the point I don't believe what anybody tells me. I mean, people will work against you and they'll be evil. And they'll say things and do things. And they are evil men. And so evil men have what? Evil works. And Paul said, Lord, you just deal with them according to their works. You judge them. You take care. It's not our job. It's not our position. And we don't have the power to deal with men according to their evil works. We can't do it. All we'll do is cause a stir and a fight and problem. But when God rewards and when God delivers a righteous man and rewards the wicked man, then it'll all be well and done, said that God did it and God handled it and God took care of it. And so we are to pray here in this prayer, deliver me from evil. Evil ways, evil words, evil works, all those things. And then 3 John 1, verse 10 says, "Wherefore I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, pranting against us with malicious words." Words. I put here, "Lord, deliver us from evil tongues." But they're out there. Malicious words. John, 3 John 1:10. So not only did Paul talk about evil deeds and things, now here's John. And he says, Lord, remember his deeds. And which he doeth, he prants against us with malicious words. You know what the word malicious means? It means critical, tail-bearing, backbiting, lying, slanderous words. God says, "I'll judge that." And we better pray that Lord would deliver us from those things, because evil words and malicious talk can do a lot to destroy the child of God. Because, by the way, if you haven't figured it out yet, there will be somebody that will believe what is said. Truth or not truth, there will be somebody that believes it. And malicious, lying, evil tongues. God, deliver me from that. Deliver me from evil. James put it like this. He says, "The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, so that the tongue among our members that defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell." Man, that's not two good words about my tongue, about your tongue. And then he says, what's in the heart proceeds where? Out of the mouth. Words are made by what? The tongue. And so, deliver us from evil tongues. Deliver us from those that would defile us and would set us on fire. Why, he says here that the tongue is like a fire, and it sets on fire the course of nature. And he says also that it is the power of it, and that it is a fire of hell. That's strong wording against one of the members of our body. And we better understand that there are those out there that would despitefully use us. And we need to pray, God, deliver us from those folks. More and more as the time approaches, I believe we'll see that on the horizon. Solomon told me today, he said, "Now if you come and see me, I'll take you to see the Islamic people." I said, "No, I have no desire to do that." He said, "Well, I'll keep you in the safe area." I said, "Uh-huh." There's people that want to destroy us. There's people that hate us. There's people that hate Christianity, period. There's people that hate Americans just because they're Americans. And there are people that hate Christians just because they're Christians. But when you are a Christian American, they really despise you. Because in their eyes, you are the epitome of everything they despise. God, deliver me. I can't deliver myself. Nobody else can deliver me, but God, you can. Deliver me from evil. Deliver me from the problems. Proverbs 18:21, talking about the tongue, says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." That's a pretty good verse. Death and life are in the power of speech. You can kill someone with your speech, or you can praise someone. And he says, "They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." Lord, deliver me. But then I think this last thing, we probably have more trouble with it than anything else. Yes, we have trouble with evil days. We have trouble with evil men, evil words, evil works, evil tongues. But I believe we have more trouble with this than anything else. Romans 7:18. If you would turn there with me. Romans chapter 7, verse 18. Again, the Apostle Paul is writing, and he's writing to the Roman people. He says, I love Paul's writings because he was always positive in what he knew. He said, "I have confidence." He says, "I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able." So Paul knew what he was talking about. Romans 7:18 says, "For I know that in me," a little parenthesis there, that is in my flesh. Paul said, "I have a problem with flesh." He said, "I know that within me," that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. So if he cannot find how to do good, what can he find? He can find out how to do bad. We do not have to teach our children how to lie. We don't have to teach our grandchildren how to do wrong. We do not have to teach them to go against God, because they're going to do it. And Paul, the preacher, he said, I know that is in me, he says, talking about my flesh, I know that there dwelleth no good thing, nothing good in this flesh. For to will is present with me. Paul says, I want to do right. I have the will to do it. I desire to do it. But then he says, but how to perform? A lot of us have the will to do it, but we don't know how to perform, how to get it done. And we're all guilty of that, me included. Especially. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. Here's the great Apostle Paul. Other than Jesus Christ, I dare say Paul was responsible for more people hearing the gospel than anybody else that's ever been. And he said, I don't know how to do good, because in my flesh there's nothing good. I want to do it, I will to do it, but I don't know how to perform it. Oh, dear Lord, deliver me from my own evil flesh. Deliver me from what I am. We are wicked sinners. Thank God we're saved by grace, but we're still sinners. A person thinks they get saved, everything will be fine. No, no, no. The battle just begins. And after all those words and messages and travels of the Apostle Paul, he said, I don't even know how to perform to do good. I don't even know how. And you read all the wonderful things that the Lord directed Paul to do and gave him those things that he could perform. And then he comes to a conclusion that I don't know how to perform even to do good, because my flesh is evil. My flesh is wicked. He says in Romans 7:24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Talking about that evil flesh. I'm glad, thank God, we can only be delivered by the Lord Jesus Christ. And He can help us, and He has done that. Deliver us from evil. Dear Lord, give me wisdom to avoid evil that is known. Help me to get around those things that are evil that I don't know. Help me to have right works, and help me to have right words, and help me to articulate correct things. And God, help my old wicked flesh and wicked heart. God, deliver us from all that, that even unknown evil. God, would you deliver us? I believe that is the cry that should be given out maybe more and more and more in our evil days that we live. Not just to deliver us from the presence of it, but deliver us from it. Help us. Sometimes we pray for our disappearance more than we pray for His appearance. We pray for the rapture, and we're hoping God get us out of here more than we're rejoicing that He's coming. Well, Jesus is coming again, and then He will deliver us, body, soul, spirit, out of this evil world. And until then, though, He tells us when you pray, you better remember who to pray to, and that's the Father. Know where He is. He's in heaven. Know how holy He is. Hallowed be Thy name. And then go through all these things about the kingdom, about the earth. Give us our daily activity, daily bread. These are just patterns of prayer. But stuck right here at the very end of it, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Why? For Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. It's not our kingdom, it's not our power, it's not our glory. It's His. All His. And so may He deliver us safely and out of this unknown wickedness and evil that is before us. Proverbs 1:33 says, but whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of what? Evil. Proverbs 1:33. I ought to write that down, memorize it. Whoever hearkens unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Boy, sometimes our heart is not quiet. I'm not talking about noise now and talking. I'm talking about a disturbed heart. I'm talking about a problem heart and a mind that is struggling with different issues and different things. God, deliver me from that, that my heart would be clear and that my mind would be right with you and that I might serve you. Lord, just give me that kind of safety and I shall be quiet from fear. We don't know what happens tomorrow, next month, next year. But I don't think we ought to fear the enemy. I think we ought to fight the enemy and turn it all over to the Lord and say, God, deliver me from wickedness. Deliver me from evil. Because just remember, the devil wants to destroy you. He wants to defeat you. He wants to defame you. He wants to defile you. But he can be put to task and put down because greater is he. Lord, please deliver me from evil. Let's stand together tonight.